Thank you for our young people that are here this morning, and they were here every one of the Vacation Bible School night, and they know by memory the new songs that we sang by way of camp and everything. And so we're going to lead off from memory this morning with this one that you remember from camp. Oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. We pointed out at that time that there are so many people in the religious world who teach that a sanctuary is just the building. It's just the auditorium. It's just a place where people gather to do their acts of worship, as they call them in that case, the sanctuary. But actually, the sanctuary, the scripture tells us that Paul writes that it's in our heart. It's in the inner man. It's in the inner individual. And so, oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Good things and good ways. And then we did one of our good Vacation Bible School songs that's always fitting. It's about the hippopotamus. In the beginning God made the sea, and the forest filled with trees, made the mountains up so high, and at the top he placed the sky. His fingerprints are everywhere, how much he cared. In the middle he had some fun, and he made a hippo that weighs a ton. Hip, 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 hippopotamus. Hip, hip, hooray, God made all of us. Hip, 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 hippopotamus. Hip, hip, hooray, God made all of us. Even the great hippopotamus was the maker. We point out from Hebrews 3, every house is built by some man, but he that built all things was God. Who built the man who built the house? All right, God. And that's the way we look at it, standpoint of truth, that we can see plainly in the Word of God. Today, I've got a lesson underway that I want to do about relationship. And in those lessons about relationship, we want to talk about the relationship of things that God's told us through Jesus to put in priority. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, you remember the passage, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." Jesus had just talked about there in Matthew 6 how that the food, the clothes, the shelter come to them as it comes to the very sparrows that he feeds and cares for, or the flowers that he grows and develops from year to year and day to day. That indeed those material things of life can come our way by way of putting first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we put a priority on the kingdom of God, our worship time, our activities time, our service times in the kingdom of God, looking for the opportunities to be of help to people, looking for the opportunities to teach people and so forth, we will find blessings to come from God in the material sense of the things that we face in life. If you seek first the kingdom, all these things shall be added unto you. Good it is to talk about. When we talk about a priority thing, we're talking about something being put first, being put in order in our lives. I want to talk in a practical way about how to do that just in a moment. But first, let's go to another set of verses in Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, we read where the church at Philippi sent once and then again to Paul's needs over in Macedonia. When he was over there doing mission work and teaching the gospel, he found himself in some need of money and funds that were available to him by the brethren. Though all the brethren far and wide, Corinth, as well as Ephesus, as well as many other places, knew that Paul was over there, who was the only congregation that sent to him twice? Philippians 4, "You sent once and again to my necessities." And he mentions, "you only." Philippi was a congregation that had concern. How did they put first the kingdom of God in their daily walk of life as Paul was over there in Macedonia doing the preaching and teaching that he was doing there in that place? Look what they did. They put together a contribution. They put together that contribution by what they had and the availability of what they had. And they sent it to Paul. They sent it two different times to his, he said, my necessities there. Paul was a tent maker, of course, and he could make a living most anywhere in the Roman Empire. He and Aquila and Priscilla worked together for a time, you remember, as we read in the latter part of the book of Acts. But it was the case that in doing that, he was limited with the time that he had to do that work and also to teach and preach the gospel to others round about him in Macedonia. And therefore, he went to the fact of teaching people in Macedonia, and he had necessities there. And he was met with those monies that came from the brethren there at Macedonia, at Philippi. How did the brethren at Philippi do it? They were not out of town. As far as I can read in Philippians 4, they didn't move out of town a single time. Far as I know, in regard to what they did there, they did not find themselves leaving their jobs and leaving their careers and going on the way to Macedonia to teach Paul or to bring to him those funds. They sent him by way of a man, Epaphroditus, a friend of Paul and a friend of them. He was a man who was greatly praised for his service and his willingness to travel like that and be dependable with the monies. You know, there are some of those people in the world in which we've lived. We trusted with a little bit of money, and they, before they got to where it was to be used, they misused it. They lost it. They didn't have it when they finished up their journey. We do know that that has happened. Epaphroditus was not one of those. He was a person who carried it, and he carried it in full measure, and he carried it a little bit more because he gave into it himself. He was willing to do that. And Epaphroditus was a man who had gotten sick. And he gotten sick, Paul writes to the brethren there at Philippi, nigh unto death. He was close to dying. Don't know what ailments and difficulties he had, but whatever they were, it was something that was deep enough that it was affecting his heart and affecting his breathing. And as a result, he was close to death. But God is praised that he raised him up and that he cared for him and he raised him up and he was able to do this. And he says to the brethren Philippi, lest you should have sorrow upon sorrow. What did they have when they heard of his sickness and his terrible sickness? Sorrow. But if he had died in the process of that time, they would have had another kind of sorrow, never seeing him again. Sorrow upon sorrow. But God spared them sorrow upon sorrow in that God helped him to recover from his illness and be once again up and about and doing. And he will come to you shortly and he will do this work with you. And wonderful his service was. As far as I know, the brethren there at Philippi in general did not take off work. They did not leave their jobs. They did not leave their careers. They did not go over there and work with Paul. But they went over there nevertheless in this way. They sent him some funds whereby he could have necessities relieved and carry on the work of the Lord in that place. When we make contributions, as has well been prayed this morning and noted, we don't necessarily see the little children over in Morrison, Arkansas. And up in Pinevale, in Corinth. We don't necessarily see how they are so thankful for the foods that are sent their way, for the monetary funds that are sent their way, that help them to have the air conditioning when it's hot and the heaters on when it's cold. Most of those children came from situations that were abusive to them. It's not that they don't have a grandma somewhere or uncle somewhere, but that uncle or that grandma were too old to care for them. Mom and Daddy were long since gone. Maybe by death, accidents take place. Maybe by death, some other situation happened. They don't have Mom and Daddy to care for them. But they've got the Crockett Church of Christ. And along with those donations that are given, their prayers that are given. This good brother who comes two or three times a year and drives through and he comes in the parking lot here, and I have those U-line boxes. By the way, U-line boxes, they beat the banker boxes. It costs five times as much. They beat them in the ground because those banker boxes will get humidity in them and everything, and they'll weaken down and they'll fall down. They'll melt on us. But not the U-line boxes. Those U-line boxes are strong and they're so good. And I will put some of the things, canned goods and things like that, and the rice and one thing and another that we've got left over from that period of time in those boxes. But you know what we do before we get out there? Before we take them out there, we roll them out there by the dolly. Say a word of prayer over them. For the relief that this will bring, for the help that this will bring, for the strength that this will give, for the good people who donated this. We didn't see them when we donated, but they were there in situations that none of us in this building today really want to be in. Abandoned, left alone, deaths, and here they are in need of a children's home. So many of other requests being made, the good brother up here at Pinevale was noting that we need to make some funds up and put an extra cabin here, and they've got the money together now, and they're going to have the availability of those children that we need to come in there. What are we doing to put first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in our time? Like the brethren at Philippi, who sent once and then again. They were a part of it. Now let me go back to Matthew 6 and 33 in regard to seek ye first the kingdom of God and how we can efficiently do that. There are times in our lives where there are conflicts that are going to take place. There's a job that is going to be taking our time. There's an opportunity that we're going to miss if we take advantage of that job and occasion. What can we do? How can we do it and yet be evangelistic maybe? Teaching the gospel to others round about us. Perhaps it is the case that someone on the shift knows the same kind of work that we're doing. We may approach that person to take our place that particular week while we take their place another week of the summer. With the foreman there approving it, we can choose to be a part of putting first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in the meeting, in the vacation Bible school, in the special Bible studies that are being done, in the singings that go on, the things of spirituality that happen. And yet, in putting first the kingdom of God, we're able to help someone else to become interested in why we would be so interested in church services at a time like this. Why would you go to that event night after night and event after event? And we tell them that I can't get it all in one service. I don't believe that Brother Robert has enough time to preach it all in one service. And there's a time, an opportunity that I need to go one week after another, a day after another in a week to find that information. And lo and behold, now it's available. By way of our website, every one of the lessons preached last week is right there on it for anybody. Can they come to that website and benefit from the time that they have? And maybe in their time, they can hear just part of the lesson. Coming back the next night, they start at that particular spot and time. That's the way that you can do it on this website. You can go up to a certain moment of time, and at 14 minutes you can stop. And you can begin again at that 14, 15 minute mark and go through the rest of it the next night. Teaching people the gospel by the way that we live also is important. Not only the fact that they can hear the messages that were done, that we heard in person, but also the opportunity we have to talk to them about the things that we did here that helped us to resist the temptations that we face, resist the trials that we go through, resist the disappointments in life that we face, resist the kind of things that are worthy of the world's glory, but not the glory of God. As a result of that, what happens? Some of those individuals say, oh, and want to be obedient to the gospel. Last week, when I was over at Oak Grove, I met a couple there, Jerry and Sonia Tuttle. When we first moved into Batesville, Mississippi, and met the mother and daddy of Jerry Tuttle, William and Callie Tuttle, we met some wonderful people. Mr. William was very sickly. At one time they had a house fire out where they were, and Miss Callie, she was tall and lanky and all, she was strong. She went back into the burning house and picked him up out of a bed and took him outside. He had lost his ability to walk and to do things like that. He was in need. He would have burned up right there that night. She braved the fire and went in and picked him up and carried him outside. But Jerry and Sonia lived down in Florida during all those years and time. Miss Callie had a good friend with whom she worked. She worked at the place where they did sewing and putting clothes together and one thing and another. She had a good friend there named Velda. Velda was not a Christian. Callie loved her enough and everything, and she would write out a verse of scripture and a little explanation to it and put it at her sewing machine morning by morning by morning. One day she got so busy with Mr. William at home and his needs and everything that she didn't get to write that out that morning. And she noticed that later on in the morning while she was doing her sewing, she looked over there and Velda was looking everywhere around her sewing machine. She got a little broom and she was sweeping underneath there, obviously to her chair and everything. She was sweeping. She was looking around her particular nest there, thought she had missed that verse of scripture and that explanation that had been written. What did Miss Callie do? Next day she wrote her two, and she took them early that morning and laid them at her sewing machine. A little while later she unveiled to her that she was the one that had done that, and that a gospel meeting was coming up, and would she like to attend there and hear those things in her own person? She did. She wanted to hear that. This was what the Bible taught. She had not been taught what the Bible said. She had been taught other things, but not what the Bible said. What happened? She was baptized into Christ. It wasn't too long before her husband was in one of the tragic accidents out on Highway 6 there in Batesville and died. Later she met a man who coached ball up this way, basketball, Coach Molly Carter. And she married Molly Carter. But he was not a member of the church either. She talked with him about various things about that, and he got a little distance with him. And she helped him. And one year when John Pigg was up there doing a gospel meeting, lo and behold, Coach Carter comes forward. He too is baptized into Christ. He too becomes a very faithful member and helpful member of the church. He said upon the night of his being baptized, I knew the gospel because the elder taught me and showed me in the Bible where it said it. I knew the gospel a long time. I put off obeying the gospel. Why did I put off obeying the gospel? It wasn't right for me to do. I let the little children that were part of the congregation who didn't live right day by day. They didn't listen as I taught in school. They didn't pay attention as I taught. They were not a good influence. I let them influence me too much. And that's why I wasn't baptized into Christ earlier. I know that's not right. But I wonder how many other people let things like that influence them to not obey the Lord. When we put first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, it may very well be that we can write a note and interest somebody who has an interest in reading their Bible. We can take a bulletin their way. We can take a tract their way. We can take a little booklet their way. We can take a DVD their way. And it will be a priority in their lives for the rest of their lives someday. Has everybody obeyed the gospel that you ever taught, Brother Robert? No. Is it wished everybody had? Yes. Because putting first the kingdom of God, doing things like the brethren at Philippi did to Paul, is putting priority to what the Lord wants done. Thank you for listening this morning. You study with us. God bless you in every good way, in every godly way. We appreciate you very much. Is there one with us today that needs to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? As the gospel is listed for the Jews in Acts chapter 2, the same gospel taught by Paul to Cornelius, Peter to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, the same gospel that Paul would refer to that he had obeyed in Acts 9, Acts 22, and Acts 26. Wonderful it is that he came into Christ and that blessing for him.